call this meeting to order. Would somebody like to move the minutes from the last meeting?
Madam Chairwoman, I would move the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, Representative Murray moves the minutes from the March 22nd meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed. Okay, well, today we're going to continue on with our omnibus bill, House File 1049, and we'll start with the First Amendment, the A1 Amendment. Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, I have the First Amendment, and Anita will be so kind as to tell us about the First Amendment, please.
Mr. Chair and members, the A1 Amendment, there are five changes in the amendment. The change on line 1.3 is strictly technical. There are two provisions that appropriate money for contaminated site cleanup. They're from two different funds, and this just makes the language in both of those paragraphs the same. The language on line 1.4 clarifies that the new competitive grant program for the youth programming is the money is from the Workforce Development Fund. Lines 1.5 through 1.16 is a technical change that the bill directs that UI fraud penalties go to the contingent account. This also sends the interest on UI fraud paybacks to the contingent account as well. Line 1.17 to line 1.14 is an amendment to the Representative Murdoch manufactured home provisions, and it just moves the language that allow municipalities to provide inspection services from the inspection section to the enforcement section of the law. So it's language in the bill that just moves it to a different section.
Okay. Is there any, did you want to continue?
Madam Chair and members, also on the A1 amendment, lines 1.25 to 3.25 concern the Minnesota Manufactured Home Relocation Trust Fund. The amendment makes a change to cap that fund at $1 million so that payments aren't collected by manufactured home park owners to go into the fund in a fiscal year in which, at the start of the fiscal year, the fund already has an unexpended balance of $1 million.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair?
Representative Clark.
Just if we could just be reminded what that fund is used for again. Madam Chair?
Mr. Burris?
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, that fund is used as payments to manufactured home owners when a manufactured home park is closed down. And it's essentially administered by Minnesota Housing.
Any other questions? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The A2 amendment, Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment of this amount, 25% of a grant to Minneapolis, Learn to Earn Summer Youth Employment Program. And this keeps the program alive, and it is Representative Mulry's idea to do that.
Anybody have any questions? All those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The A2 amendment passes. The A8 amendment, who would like to offer that? Representative Moline?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A8 amendment. And this amendment very simply deletes the transfer of $60 million from the Doug Johnson Fund into the State General Fund on page 15, lines 17 to 21.
Representative Moline, this amendment is out of order because it does not balance the funds for the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I'm new to the legislature. I know there are other freshmen on the committee, and it was I was trying to come up with ways to find $60 million to add to the state general fund, which wasn't as easy, I guess, as grabbing our $60 million was. I do have a couple possible solutions. I do have amendments with me that I have copies for everybody on the committee. I did not get them. I did not get them to the committee administrator within the 24-hour rule, so I would ask that the chair waive that rule so that I could pass those out and they could be discussed.
Representative Moline, we had some amendments that came in after the deadline, too, and we are not offering them today. So I would suggest they go to Ways and Means. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Those amendments can be delivered to Ways and Means when this bill goes through Ways and Means, and you can ask them at that time.
Representative Clark.
Madam Chair, I realize that they could go to Ways and Means, but I remember our first day when our chairman said the only rules this committee has are the chairman's rules. And I'm just, I guess I'd like to ask that, since there isn't a rule against what Representative Moline is talking about, and there is room to let that happen, that we begin the process here. And it can happen in Ways and Means again, too.
Yes. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Clark, the chairman ruled.
I know, Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chair. I guess I'm just asking you to consider what the. Well, could the chairwoman explain why that is the rule? Then maybe it's deferring to Representative Gunther to talk about that.
Because of the extra stress put on in this particular process, on this particular day, we have to abide by the 12 o'clock rule that most committees have, and the chairman decided that was what is going to happen, and that's why we have this rule. However, there is a place to have this amendment heard, and that is in Ways and Means, and I believe you sit on that.
No,
that's too bad.
Not this year.
But anyway, I sit on that committee, and I certainly, as I think every member here knows, this was not my idea. This is not something I relish. But however, this is a hand I was dealt, and I'm taking that role seriously, and we'll just have to go through it. And if Ways and Means can find money to replace this with, I would love that to happen. I believe that's what's going to happen.
And to that, Representative Clark, I also have a copy of an email that was sent to yourself and Representative Mahoney, the 22nd, that announced a reminder that amendments are due by noon on the next day, and or they will not be considered. So the leads on the committee were brought forward. I think that, okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, to that
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think I received the amendment.
It was sent to the leads of the your caucus.
And thank you, Madam Chair, but that's not effective, and a retroactive rule is not a rule. And so sending something to Representative Mahoney or sending something to Representative Clark is not sending it to me. So it's ineffective. If Representative Clark or Mahoney were offering it, that would be a rule that they should abide by. But leads don't control other members, and members are not expected to know what leads have.
Representative Mullery, I would say that the leads have the responsibility to let their members know those things, though.
Madam Chair,
Representative Mullery.
Okay, we'll have.
Hey, Representative Gunther.
Chair. Thank you, Madam Chairman, and the chairman decided that we're going to listen to her amendment. And Representative Clark and Representative Mahoney did not inform their caucus about when the amendment's there.
Chair.
I think it's only appropriate that we listen to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You want to pass it out, please?
Representative Dill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. While that's getting passed out, I'd like to ask the chair a question. The former chair a question.
No, he's still the chair.
The real
he's
chair.
Not sitting in the chair.
Whatever I just Representative Gunther, tell me, if nothing happens here today and this bill became law and the range delegation sues in court, and they likely will, they did that on the 21st Century Minerals Fund, which was a general fund appropriation in its origin, and they lost, but this is property tax money. What would happen if then it was the court decided that it was inappropriate and then we had a $60 million hole deficiency? Would the governor then unallot first, or would we have to have a special session to rebalance the budget? Because $60 million is something pretty significant. And I guess I'm so new at the legislature that I don't know the answer to that question, so I'm asking that question.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Dill, I really don't have the exact answer, but I would assume the governor would unallot or would come up with some money for that $60 million. I know I would certainly work towards that goal, too.
Anybody else? Okay, Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And turning to my amendment, A-19, which I admit isn't ideal, but it was difficult for me to come up with $60 million to replace the money that you had proposed stealing from the Doug Johnson Fund. But Representative Leidiger inspired me on Tuesday when he said that he enthusiastically supported the taking of my county's money to put into the state general fund. And because of that, the only solution that I could come up with, while ideally the most comparable to taking of the Doug Johnson Fund, would have been to actually take local property tax money out of Representative Leidiger's counties and Representative Gunther's counties. There's actually no state mechanism in order to steal local property tax money other than the way that you've gone about it, taking out of the Doug Johnson Fund. And so this would simply... this amendment simply withholds local government aid and county aid to the counties of Carver, Faribault, Martin, Scott, and Wanatwan, which are the counties represented by Representative Gunther and Representative Leidiger. And the only reason I chose those counties is because it's the author's bill and because Representative Leidiger was enthusiastic about taking county money to put into the state general fund. But if there are other members here that are supportive of taking my county's money, then I would certainly consider that we add you to the list of counties that would have their aid withheld so that we can make up for that $60 million difference.
Any discussion? Representative Scalzo.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I've had a little time to reflect on this. I didn't really know about this, and I was gone yesterday, so if Representative Mahoney tried to contact me, I was at a funeral all day long. But I've had a little time to reflect on this, and in my city, Little Canada, now this is on a much smaller scale, but it's much like what Representative Moline is talking about. We have an excavating contractor in my city, a large excavating contractor. And what he does is he, when you tear up a road and you want to crush it up, and he's got this huge pile of dirt. He crushes it and then he sells it to road projects and it's reused. So it's called recycling. It's a wonderful thing. And we're sitting on the city council and I served six terms there, so it wasn't just a once in a while thing, but we tried to be very fair. And so what we thought, well, my goodness, you know, all those employees, all those trucks, all that stuff's happening there. It's not, and we couldn't levy property taxes on a dirt pile. So we thought, well, wait a minute, there's got to be some way to share the burden between this business person and the rest of the business people in the city. Because we had a lot of, you know, he generated a lot of work on roads, road repair, snow plowing, police, fire safety, medical, all those things that property taxes pay for. And we didn't have any money coming in from him. Everybody else was subsidizing this huge pile of asphalt. So we decided we were going to levy on him a tonnage, much like the mines did, a tonnage charge because of the impact that he had on our property taxes. And so that's a special fund in my city. And so with that fund, he then contributes to the share of property taxes like everyone else in the city. It was a wonderful thing, and actually he understood it quite well. So he's paid it all this time, has never tried to sue us or anything. But if anybody tried to take that money from my city, we would raise holy hell, because how are we supposed to cover those costs? It's a severe impact on our city. And luckily, and now they've spilled the beans, maybe somebody's going to try to, maybe the state's going to want that, I don't know. But it really helped a problem that was not being solved, and the homeowners were subsidizing this operation, and we just didn't think it was right. So I just, in a small way, I can kind of see a correlation between what Representative Moline is telling us, because we felt it so strongly in my city, and we took action, and it's the way you have to do things.
Thank you, Representative Scalzi. Representative Leiter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Moline, can you answer a couple of questions for me? Yes or no, does the IRRRB and subsequently the Douglas J. Johnson Economic Protection Trust Fund receive money from the state's general fund?
No. The IRRRB is a state agency, but it doesn't receive state general fund money.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, to that point?
Yes, Representative Mahoney.
I believe because, as Commissioner Sertich explained, the state collects the taconite tax. All monies coming to the state go into the general fund. There's a formula that was worked out over many, many years and been followed for many, many years. So the general fund, so technically that money is coming from the general fund to the Douglas J. Johnson Fund. But that is their property tax money. That's what they would collect from anyone else other than a taconite mine using that piece of dirt. So it is technically general fund. It is in reality and in the real world, it is the IRRRB in those 13 counties property tax. And we do not take property tax from anyone else's county in this state. But we could.
Well,
Representative Leidiger.
Huh? Then let me go on to Ms. Moline. Representative Moline, then the Taconite Area Economic Protection Fund, is that being used to fund public amenity projects in the Iron Range?
Representative Moline.
Are you talking about the Doug Johnson Economic
Protection Fund? No, I'm talking about the Taconite Area Environmental Protection Fund.
That, Representative Moline. Yes, Representative Leidiger. Maybe Representative Dill can answer this better, but I believe that goes to economic development and to public works projects.
Representative Dill.
Representative Moline, you did a fine job there. That's the answer.
So the answer is yes.
Representative Leidiger.
And then in the future, let me just ask Representative Moline, in the future, is the IRRRB and Douglas J. Johnson Fund expected to receive money from the state's general fund in the next biennium?
Representative Moline.
No, Representative Leidiger, we never have. We pay into the state general fund a lot through the occupation tax. We don't receive from the state general fund.
Thank you.
Representative Dill.
Well, thank you very much. First, I've got a question. I show my ignorance of the state. Where is the Monticello nuclear plant located? In what county is that?
Becker
County. Well, Representative Moline, you did a wonderful job on this amendment, except the Doug Johnson Fund affects 7 counties and your amendment only affects 5 counties, right? I believe that's 5.
Yes.
So what I'm going to make an offer an oral amendment to line 1.18 after the word Carver, that we amend this to include Olmsted, since Mayo Clinic is there, and Becker, since the Monticello nuclear plant is there, and we'll get a few of those property taxes up there and down there. I think that I heard today that Olmsted, that Mayo Clinic alone pays $10 million in property taxes. So we might get that back pretty quick, and then at least we'll be even Steven, county, 7 counties for 7 counties. And I mean, then we can go on from there. So that would be my oral amendment to line 1.8.
Representative Lee, would you like to take that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hamer.
Is this on the amendment?
Yes.
The amendment?
Well, on the amendment itself, because we've amended that into the amendment. It was a friendly amendment and accepted by Representative Moline.
So that was incorporated. I just want to make sure I understand. I apologize for coming in late. So Representative Moline is... I just want to make sure I understand what the amendment is doing. It's taking what? It's taking...
Local government.
Is it taking LGA from these cities, or what is it doing? And does that make...
Property tax, right?
Does that compute to $60 million?
Madam Chair and Representative Paymar, as I explained, this amendment isn't ideal. What I wanted to do was take local property tax money from these counties, because that would be the equivalent of taking money from the Doug Johnson Fund. But I was told by House Research that the state doesn't have a mechanism for us to grab the local property tax money from these counties. Apparently, we only have that mechanism to grab it from the Doug Johnson Fund. And so my only alternative at this point was to withhold the local government aid to these counties, which is not ideal, and it's not an equivalent. But Representative Leidiger, who enthusiastically supported taking money from our counties, I thought would be willing to provide some from his own.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair?
Representative Mahoney, I'm sorry.
Just to clarify, I believe the intent of the friendly amendment was not to take property taxes, but to take local government aid. Am I correct, Representative Dill? Mm-hmm. So everyone needs to understand local government aid.
Any other questions, Representative House?
Madam Chair, just to set the record straight, there's no such thing as a friendly amendment. I think that Representative Moline would incorporate...
Yes, I apologize for the misstatement.
Her amendment, and I would like to remind members to maybe hurry up the debate on this. The amendment will fail 9-9, and we can move on.
Okay,
Madam Chair,
Representative Paymar.
I'm not going to repeat the comments I made in committee the other day about how wrong I think this is to rob the Doug Johnson Fund that's so important to diversifying the economy on the Iron Range. I'm not going to support the amendment, however. I think this is, I understand fully the intent, and it certainly is making your point, Representative Moline, but this is just geographical warfare that's going on here in this committee and in others. I'm not participating.
Thank you, Representative Paymar. I appreciate that. Any other discussion? Representative Mahoney.
Well, I have to kind of echo a little bit of what my colleague, Representative Paymar, said. It is economic warfare, and we started it. And as with any warfare, you don't know where it goes. You don't know where it ends. And... this, you know, Assistant Majority Leader Gunther, you may not like this. You even made comments in it in the press. But you're part of the leadership of that caucus. You may have gotten outvoted. But to target one area, in this case, I feel a little bit of a target on my back. And being a metro city of the first class representative, it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel comfortable for what we're doing as a legislature. It doesn't feel comfortable as a member from those areas. And I'm trying to be less of what I used to be like, so I'm not going to shout and bang my hand on the table like Bob's witnessed a couple of times. But we are really doing wrong here today. And I'll speak a little bit more at the end before we pass this bill out, but I'm sure Representative Moline would like to say a few words.
Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Paymar, I certainly appreciate your comments, and I agree with you. I do not like the geographic warfare that's going on here. I think that this is shameful and embarrassing. But there is $60 million being taken from a geographic location in Minnesota that represents less than 3% of the entire population of the state. And it's not a surplus of money that we have. It is not state general tax money. It is local property tax money in a trust fund. And so it makes me sick that anybody would support this. And I really think it's shameful that this is in front of us. And, you know, I'm a new member. I don't know what the proper etiquette is. If you want to support the stealing of our money without making any comments on it, then that's certainly up to you. But I would appreciate hearing from members why they think this is okay.
Any other discussion? Representative Skelton.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I just feel very strongly that if we're going to confiscate one-time money rather than live within our means, then we should rename this committee Jobs and Economic Warfare, because that's exactly what we're doing here today.
Any other questions? Representative Moline renews her amendment, the A-19 amendment, with the DIL amendment incorporated within that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
No. Nay. Pardon? Amendment fails. Okay, then we have the A-12 amendment. Who would like to introduce that? Nobody?
Come on, do it. Oh, no. I don't think that one's going to get...
Yeah. Madam Chair, we'd withdraw that amendment.
Thank you. Okay, so that's all the amendments. Is there anything else? Okay, discussion on the bill. Any comments on the bill before we take our vote?
Well, Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Mahoney.
If we're going to move to, where are we sending this bill to?
Ways and Means.
Well, before we make that motion, Madam Chair, this bill has a series of fees in it. More than a series, it has a good number of fees in it. And fees are a tax, according to state law. So I believe this actually has to go to taxes before it goes to Ways and Means. So, Madam Chair, I would move that we send this to taxes versus Ways and Means. And I don't have the statute in front of me, but I'm sure our crack staff here, if they needed to, could come up with the statute.
Representative Gunther.
I disagree with Representative Mahoney. There are fees for the Combative Sports Commission. We raised their fees from $25 to $45 per fight, and their fees in Dolly that are very small and traditionally... fees and taxes that are very small do not go to tax committee, and I will oppose Representative Mahoney's idea of having this bill go to taxes.
Members,
any other discussion?
I will just say that it's in the law, and we should be following the law.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Representative Clark.
I think we should have a roll call on that. This really is, this came up on the floor again. A couple days ago, yesterday or whatever. I mean, we've been through this. We changed the laws to say that fees are taxes, and I don't think it's right to violate our rules in that way. As much as I might wish that some bills that have fees in it didn't have to go, I think we have the rule and we need to obey it. So let's just see who's going to follow our rule.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I was just wondering, the fee, I'm wondering if Chair Gunther would be able to give us the total amount of fees that are being raised in this bill so that we don't erroneously assume that they're incidental.
Mr. Sonnenberg, could you please give us an answer to that question?
Mr. Chairman and members, there is a small, there is a fee that would be attached to the Small Business Investment Tax Credit modification of $2,000 in the first year, $4,000 continuing. There is a fee for the extension of the fixed rate permit surcharge. That would be fiscal year 12 and 13, $1,200,000 each year. There is a fee for the what they're calling the license consistency, which is a continuation of the 2010 legislation, which revamped all of Dolly's fees to more in line with the regulation cost of the respective regulated industries, and that is $68,000 the first year, $31,000 the second year. It's about $100,000 ongoing. And the last one is a fee reduction for the at the state level collection of the with the manufactured home inspection modifications that were in Representative Murdoch's bill. And finally, there is the fee adjustment with the Combative Sports Commission, which is about $49,000 per year. So,
Representative Scalzi.
And can we total that up? Because I heard I'm trying to quickly do the math here. $1,200 each year. I mean, $1,000,002 each year, and then the $68,000, a $31,000, and then a $49,000, and a $49,000. I missed the first one, and I'm wondering if we can get a total of the fees, which appear to some to be incidental.
Madam Chair and members, and I'm just going to be doing this quick off the top of my head here, but it looks like the total amount of fees would be $2,505,000. It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,400,000 with the net of the reduction for the one item. So about, $2,500,000 with the net.
Representative Paymar. Oh, I'm sorry. No, did you want?
Yeah. Oh, I just thank you, Ms. Chair. As a response, I think that's a lot of fees. $2,500,000 fee increases, tax increases, and I guess I haven't been able to figure out if that's on businesses or how this is going to be, how we define it, but $2,500,000 is a lot of money. That's a huge tax increase.
Representative Paymar.
Madam Chair, I guess a question of you or staff. I mean, in addition to the fee increases that Representative Mahoney raised and requesting that this go to the tax committee, I mean, it seems to me that just the rating of the Doug Johnson Fund, I mean, that's from the taconite production tax paid in lieu of property taxes. So, I mean, that's a $60 million tax issue. Secondly, there's a bill that Representative Mahoney added here. I'm not sure exactly where it is on the Angel Investor Tax Credit, and even though that was some minor changes, there are a number of tax issues in this bill, and I'm on the tax committee. I don't necessarily relish hearing it again, but I think in terms of process, I do think we're making a mistake here.
Representative Gunther.
Madam Chairman, just because Representative Paymar doesn't want to hear these again, I'm going to instruct staff to take all the fee increases out of this bill at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark?
Does that include the $60 million
tax? No, that's not tax? A fee.
It's a tax, though.
Okay, all right.
Madam Chair, I mean, it's clearly a tax issue. I mean, it's a huge tax issue that the tax committee should be. I mean, I don't understand how it doesn't go there.
Representative Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As one of the longest-serving tax committee members still here, there's no question this has to go to tax because of the Doug Johnson Fund. That's a tax. And it just has to.
A motion has been made. Would you want to speak more? Mm-hmm. Representative Gunther.
We aren't doing anything that affects tax policy. We're just taking a pot of money that is there.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
We can take all the other fees out, but you may be redirecting a tax, but you are taking someone's property taxes and $60 million part of the bill prior to this, I mean, prior to removing the other fees, it was 3% of the $87 million target that this committee had. Now, we're going to redirect property taxes. We're going to change how we appropriate money in this state, how we appropriate a tax. Without question, this is a tax issue, and it should be looked at in the event that the tax committee can find different funding for this or a different way of doing this. But that's just fine. If we don't do it here, we'll probably have the fight on the floor, and then you have more tax committee members that will be standing up. I can step out of the way on that one.
Okay. Representative House?
I'd ask for a roll call, Madam Chair.
It already has.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm sure if there's an issue with this in Ways and Means and the discussion comes up again, we could take the fees out and then capture Giants Ridge, the green fees on that, or sell the golf course to balance the budget. Just a thought, Madam Chair.
Okay. A motion has been made by Representative Mahoney to move the bill to taxes. A roll call has been called.
Can I just say one more?
Representative Scalzo.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I'm just kind of curious, the $60 million confiscation of this fund, which is provided by a taconite tax, and surely there has to be some type of legislation that was created to capture that taconite tax. And I'm wondering if that legislation, I mean, I don't know. I never grew up on the Iron Range. I grew up in Bidette. Never had to deal with these things. But I think that there must be something in law that that speaks to how that tax is collected and used. And are we circumventing that? I mean, has this committee checked that out? And maybe our fiscal staff would know. It just appears to me that if you're collecting a tax from the taconite mines, I don't believe that they would just allow their tax to be collected. They're sharp people. Would they just allow their tax to be collected to balance the general fund of the state? I just don't kind of see that how that works and if that would be legal. Can staff?
Madam Chair.
Representative Moline.
The money that goes into the Doug Johnson Fund is from the taconite production tax, and I believe it's 13.7 cents per ton that goes into the Doug Johnson Fund into an economic trust. The purpose that this bill is taking it for is not the purpose that this tax money is designated for, nor has this money ever been used for any other purpose than for the economic trust, which is why it was created. And so, you know, I would agree with my colleagues that this absolutely has to go to the tax committee, because you are taking property tax money for a purpose which it was not designated and has never been used.
Representative Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Council question. Where is the designation, and did that come as part of the origin of this tax, the designation as to how it goes?
Mr. Burris, or do you know that? Or Ms. Newman?
Madam Chairman and Representative Mallory, the minerals taxes are all contained in Chapter 298, and Chapter 298 is quite specific in how these taxes are allocated to the different funds within the minerals funds, and then within those specific funds, the statutory language is very specific on what those funds can be used for and how they may be allocated. But there also is language that provides that the collection of the taxes is remitted to the general fund, but then the appropriations are back out for the specific statutory purposes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I think it's pretty, just as a follow-up, I think it's pretty obvious it has to go to taxes. It's all enveloped in the tax statute there.
Representative Dill.
Well, geez, I just hear a whole lot of not having enough information to make a decision on this in this committee at this time. I mean, this is the first question that's been answered in the last half hour about how it's done, where it's done, where was it done, what's the history of this tax. And so maybe a motion is to lay this bill on the table until such time that we can get the answers to these questions, because I would be almost ashamed to move forward without the answers to the questions that we have. And I mean, I have another question. So what council is telling us is that She said that there's an appropriation made to the fund. So is that appropriation an automatic appropriation, that or does the legislature make that appropriation every biennium, or just exactly how does that happen? Usually appropriations are made every 2 years, but I have a feeling that this is just a pass-through and that the appropriation is actually in statute and that it happens automatically. But I don't know the answer to that. Maybe council can help us. But, I mean, there's a litany of questions here before us.
Representative Dill, did you make a motion then to lay this on the table?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Is that a higher... Well, let me ask you this, Madam Chair. Is that a higher motion than the motion that's already before us?
Yes, it is.
Then I'll certainly make the motion.
Okay. Then we'll take a vote on that. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. Motion does not prevail.
We'll have a show of hands.
Okay. All those aye. Okay. All those who oppose? There are 6 ayes and 10 nays. The motion does not prevail.
I have another question.
Representative Scalzi.
I'm kind of a slow learner. Thanks, Ms. Chair. I'm just finding more questions as we go along. I apologize. If this is a trust, aren't there rules that apply to trusts versus rules that apply to a fund? I'm not sure. Isn't a trust a legal entity? I could be wrong. I mean, I'd hate to think this should go to civil law, but I'm kind of wondering just what that means if this is a established trust in law.
Madam Chair.
Are you making a motion to that effect then?
No, okay. I was curious. I'm okay. Wondering if
does anybody
I'm
have
wondering
an answer
if council
for that?
Can tell us what the word trust means.
Well, thank you. I can tell you what I know about this is that to spend any of the corpus, we have to have a unanimous vote of the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board because we are essentially the trustees. And for to make expenditures, for example, when we take money out to do a project that creates hundreds of jobs, as we have done many, many times on the range, there has to be a certain number. I believe it's 8 members of the board have to vote in the affirmative to remove money, to even spend money from the Doug Johnson, let alone taking a full the full board to spend any of the corpus. So, I mean, we have rules and regulations that are set up that we have to follow. And sometimes we don't agree on those things, but we still have to follow the rules. So technically speaking, I don't know how that all lays out, but Representative Rukavina were here. I'm sure he would be a Library of Congress on all of these issues. It would be, yes, that's correct. Spousal. Right here it would be.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I see that our council is looking at it, and I'm just kind of curious if they, in fact, have to vote to take money out of the trust, how then could the state take that money without that board voting to let go of the money?
Madam
Ms.
Chair,
Newman.
Representative Scalzi, language in Chapter 298, and I will read to you here, in 298.28, this is the division and distribution of proceeds from the tax. The proceeds of the tax is collected under Section 298.24, except the tax collected under 298.24 Subdivision 2 shall, upon the certification of the Commissioner of Revenue, be allocated under Subdivisions 2 to 12. So that is where the statutory allocation of these tax proceeds is. It is, and in these taxes, it's generally not in numerical amounts. It's based on taxable tonnage in specific years, and it's in many cases done on a cent per ton basis. For example, there's an allocation to cities and towns, 12.5% taxable tons, and that's often indexed. And so in the Doug Johnson Economic Protection Trust Fund Act, in Section 298.293, expending funds, there is language that says, I can paraphrase, but money expended pursuant blah, 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 shall be expended only in an amount that does not exceed the sum of net interest dividends and earnings arising from the investment of the trust for the preceding 12 calendar months from the date of the authorization, plus $10 million from the corpus of the funds. The funds may only be spent in or for the benefit of the Taconite Assistance Area as defined in 273.1341.
Representative Scales.
So, thank you, Ms. Chair. That sounds like they can only be spent in that area. I mean, these one-time funds are very troubling to me because, as I understand what you just said, it can only be spent in that area. And I also heard that maybe the Commissioner of Revenue could determine where it would go. Am I correct in those two instances?
Madam Chair, Representative Scalzi, you are correct in that the language in 298.293 is specific in what that money can be used for. The Commissioner of Revenue, however, is bound by the statutory allocation of those funds. It's not at the discretion of the Commissioner of Revenue.
Madam Chair, we have a motion to...
Madam Chair, also...
Representative Mullery.
From my understanding, and I thought this was like, you know, we call the electrician's fund a trust fund, but it wasn't technically a trust fund. This apparently actually is a technical trust fund from what I'm understanding from council. If that's the case, it's just like breaking a contract with somebody. It's unconstitutional. The state cannot override a contract. They can't override a trust. That's why they could take the electrician's money, even though it was called a trust fund, was because it technically wasn't.
Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Scalzi, for pointing this out, because it is true that we only spend the interest out of the Doug Johnson Fund, and as Representative Dill stated, if we wanted to spend the $60 million, we would need a unanimous vote on the IRRRB board to spend this money. And I think that, you know, the language that was just read in statute makes it pretty clear that this money is being grabbed from our fund, but is actually a violation of the statute for how the money can be spent and for what region of the state it can be spent in. And so in order to take this money, you have to change that statute so that it can be spent, so that it can be put in the state general fund, because it's a violation of the statute that was just read. And so, you know, again, the motion failed, but this certainly has to go to tax committee because it's a direct violation of that statute.
Okay. To Representative Mahoney's motion to move the bill to taxes, there's a roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Gunther?
No.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Dill?
Yep.
Representative Howes?
No.
Representative Kiefer? Representative Leidiger?
No.
Representative Lemire?
No.
Representative Mahoney?
Yes.
Representative McFarland?
No.
Representative Moline?
Yes.
Representative Mullery?
Yes.
Representative Murray?
No.
Representative Paymar?
Yes.
Representative Sanders?
No.
Representative Scalzi?
Yes.
Representative Stensrud?
No.
Representative Swedzinski.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not pass.
Madam Chair.
Representative Clark.
Could I just make a technical point? In the previous vote, not this one, but the previous vote, there were also 7 instead of 6.
Oh,
I think
I'm
you
sorry.
Just failed to count somebody's
we'll
hand.
Correct the record
thank
on
you.
That. Thank you. Okay, to the bill. Any other questions? Representative Dill.
Well, I came into this committee and pledging to myself, at least, that I wasn't going to say anything about this and just keep quiet and let Representative Moline do her amendments. Here I've done a fair amount of talking, but I have to say that in my 9 years in the legislature, I've never sat on a committee that proposed a bill to directly contradict a state law. I think it's reckless, and I think it sets a terrible precedent. In fact, I don't think it'll become law. And if it does become law, more or less by accident, I think you should get ready to expect a $60 million hole to be found filled later, possibly by unallotments, which will go to who knows where, or by some other action of the legislature, possibly even a special session, that would be very costly to the taxpayers. I strenuously object to common sense here.
Representative.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Representative.
I strenuously object to this because there is no common sense. Oh. I missed a word or two. Sorry about that. Boy, I really blew that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just wanted to make some final comments. I've only been a member of the legislature for a month and a half, but I have to say I'm pretty disturbed with what's going on here today. I'm disturbed that so many members would have just supported something that's probably illegal, which is why Assistant Majority Leader Gunther commented to Minnesota Public Radio yesterday that he thought the grabbing of this money was illegal. But yet we proceeded today to go ahead with it, which is disturbing to me as a new legislator. And, you know, in addition to that, I hope that every member that is supporting taking this money realizes that you just opened Pandora's box, because you just said to every Minnesotan that your local property tax is fair game for balancing the state general fund. So let's be prepared for that.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Mahoney?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. You know, I've sat on this committee for 12 years, and I've gone through the 2002, or was it 2003 budget cycle, where this 21st Century Mineral Fund was raided, and we cut boatloads of money, and it was very painful. This is even more painful. This bill takes $60 million from a different region of the state. And it still cuts, I think, $5 million more than what the governor put out there. But it cuts, it doesn't even allow the agencies that we have, and I'm speaking more to the economic development agencies, to do their job. Government doesn't hire people, doesn't create a job. Government creates the atmosphere. It lays out the foundation for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and large businesses to hire more people, to sell their goods abroad or in other states. It educates the workers. It helps disabled people get into particular positions where they can be productive members of society and have a productive job. And this bill dramatically fails that test. But it also fails in meeting the campaign promise of living within your means. It fails the original target, the $87 million target that was given to this particular committee. And the sad part about it is, I mean, I finally asked fiscal staff to come up with the dollar figures that an $87 million budget would have. And they're frightening. They're literally frightening. And I'll pass this out at some point. But a 42% reduction, and I'll just do it this way, the business and community development, the current base is $7.6 million roughly. But without the Doug Johnson Fund, it would be $3.2 million. Program, the workforce development, without it would be about $12 million. So we talked earlier about economic and regional warfare. Well, somebody actually brought that up the other night, and one of my friends, and they gave me a little lapel pin of a rifle. So I decided I had to put that on.
Besides the pointing at.
So I'm going to vote against this bill. I'm going to recommend that no one vote for this bill. It's a jobless bill. It, as a matter of fact, it's a disarming bill. It disarms our state. But I'm gonna close with these words. What upset me more, because I've watched, this is not an easy process for any chairman to go through to cut these kind of dollar figures. But what upset me even more is that many of the programs that a Democratic governor from the Iron Range set up came to these witness tables and put a smile on their face and said, geez, thank you for not cutting me so much. And didn't once mention the fact that their program wouldn't be in existence without an Iron Range governor that set it up, and they're stealing the money to fund their little program. Shame on everyone that came to this witness table and said, thank you for not cutting me so much. Many members here have spoken about actions and words have consequences. I didn't hear one of you say, you know, this isn't fair to steal money from one region to fund my little program. And as much as I'm disappointed in this bill, I'm disappointed in the advocates that came to this table. Mr. Chair, I would hope that we don't pass this bill out today. But if we do, I can't wait for the governor to veto this bill so we can actually get to work and come up with a bill that we can live with.
Representative Mallory.
Madam Chair, very quickly, and it is, I hate to do this after a very sobering moment, because I totally agree with what Representative Mahoney said, and I would have liked to gone through a lot of things, but I think that it can best be summarized by Representative Dill's original statement, and I feel that anybody that votes for this bill agrees with his original statement. I object to common sense.
Representative Paymer.
Madam Chair, I apologize. The vote's already been taken on the amendment, on the motion to refer this back to taxes, but I just want to say for the record, looking at the House rules, just so we all know that all those who voted against it, it says specifically in our House rules, just so you know, so it's going to come up again. It's 4.10 in our House rules right here, permanent rules of the House. A bill with a substantial impact on the tax revenues or tax policy of the state must be referred to the Committee on Taxes. That's the rule. So we're violating the rules, but you go ahead and violate them. I'd also, Madam Chair, ask for a roll call vote.
Okay. Roll call's been called. Representative Clark. Briefly, if you could.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a couple of comments about a couple other areas of the bill. And I do agree with what Representative Mahoney said. And I guess I want to proceed my comments by saying, you know, there's some cuts that we've been talking about that are pretty bad. There's a couple in housing and the youth programs that I want to mention. But I do believe that we'll be back here with bigger cuts, because that $6 million fund is not legal and will not be, you know, first it'll be vetoed, and if it's not vetoed, it'll be sued. So my comments are that, you know, the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency takes an even bigger cut percentage-wise than DEED. And one of the areas that's most painful to see that in is the Housing Trust Fund, which is the program that funds the poorest of the poor. And the information I have about what this particular cut would do that's in this bill today is that reducing this fund by $2.5 million below the governor's recommendations, where he increased it, this would mean as many as 370 families, veterans, and disabled people will be homeless. Now, it is a little cold today. It's been colder. And we know we go through all kinds of weather changes in this state, but homelessness is a very, very serious issue. People suffer. And this, I think it's important for this committee to realize that we're saying that we're okay with making more people homeless. I think there are alternatives, and Representative Gunther, I would really like to work with you when we come back for a new bill to try to figure out some alternatives to this. We know that it's extremely expensive to make people homeless, and that there are ways to, when we put them in shelters, it's, you know, we could pay a mortgage with what it costs to put a family in a shelter for a month. It's just really not very good economics to do that. And so I'm concerned about that. And we can talk more about it. I guess the other area that I find really disturbing, and I know for sure, Chairman Gunther, that this must be painful to you, but I just don't know why we are cutting our youth programs 30% in some cases. It doesn't make any sense. These are the folks who are our future. The way these programs came and talked to us here, they talked about the fact that they would be cost a huge cost benefit almost in every instance, allowing and encouraging and training a young person and to get ready for the workforce saves us so much money, not only in their ability to earn their own living and pay taxes, but a lot of those folks, unless they get this opportunity, they're headed for trouble, expensive trouble like jail and prison. We know that. We don't need to do that. There are alternatives. Our governor's offered us some alternatives. I think there are alternatives even in the financing in this bill. And so I just say to members, I know that this, we're going to be back here. And we have to do better than this. This is really unconscionable to be putting people out into the street and to be taking away the opportunities of our young people. One of the really disturbing other parts of this bill to me, and Representative Gunther, I hope you'll help us reconsider this, is, you know, we want people to be responsible for themselves and to take away the money for, to zero out the money for advocating change together, to me is just amazing. I don't know how we got to that point in this bill. I don't support it. Last year, we finally passed legislation apologizing for our treatment of persons with mental illness and disabilities who were put into our state institutions. And that organization led us in finally coming to terms with that. It was a really act of reconciliation for thousands of families in Minnesota. And to take to zero out that organization, to me, I just don't get it. So I'll be voting against this bill for the reasons that I just mentioned, and I really hope that we can do better.
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And I'm new on this committee, so I apologize if I'm asking questions that's apparent to other people. But if Chair Gunther deleted the $2,500,000 in fee increases, tax increases, does this bill balance, and can it go out of this committee if it doesn't balance?
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't think it ever got accomplished, but if it did, I will reinstitute those fees because we are within the limits according to our leadership. So the fees are still there. We are still going to have a combative sports commission. We still are going to have a $5 fee so we can take care of those electrical inspectors that are going to need to be reimbursed. So the fees are still there. And I think they would be there if we went to conference committee.
Representative Gunther renews his motion to pass House File 1049 as amended to Ways and Means. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Gunther?
Yes.
Clark?
No.
Dill?
No.
Howes?
I guess you could do it anyway.
Yes.
Kiefer?
Yes.
Leidiger?
Yes.
Lemire?
Yes.
Mahoney?
No.
McFarlane?
Yes.
Moline?
No.
Mullery? No. Murray?
Yes. A minute for you.
Haymar?
No.
Sanders?
Yes.
Scalzi?
No.
Stensrud?
Yes.
Spudzinski?
Yes.
Being 10 ayes and 7 nays, the motion passes and the bill will be referred to Ways and Means. The meeting is now adjourned.